Appreciate the good song and Brother Gurley being faithful to the Lord and going to a country that is the snake bite capital of the world. How many of you think that would have to be a God thing to do that? You do understand he said he walked past a cobra mound. You know, a cobra mound has more than one cobra in it, right? I've seen a picture of those things and there's all kind of cobras in it, so just thank God for fire ant hills instead of cobra mounds. I'd say that. Take your Bible, if you would, and go back to James chapter 4 tonight. I think I'm going to preach three messages out of James chapter 4. And this morning, basically, we talked about getting close to God, and I'm going to continue that. James chapter 4 in your Bible, and I'm trusting that God will help us this evening. I didn't read this morning, but I want to read tonight and get down to where I'd like to pick up the message. If you have your Bible, James chapter 4, verse 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members? So there's a fight within and a fight without. There are people that have struggles with other people because of their lusts. Then they have struggles with themselves. I can't quit what I'm doing. I know it's wrong. I know it's hurtful. And I struggle with myself or I struggle with someone else. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. So those lusts, they bring not only a fighting, but they bring an emptiness. I want to achieve this. This is what I think would make me happy if I could have it. And I'm striving for it. I'm working for it. I may be doing things that I shouldn't be doing, but I'm not attaining what I want. And then he says in verse number 2, you fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it on your own lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. There's the separation. So that lust brings an emptiness, but it also brings a separation. It makes you and God at odds with one another. A friendship with the world, an affinity for the world, wanting what the world wants, putting a priority on what the world says is valuable. There's a great verse that says the things that are highly esteemed among men are an abomination to God. And I think that's because the things esteemed among men usually last for just a little while, but the things that God put his heart on, they last for all eternity. Big difference in that. Then in verse 5, do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? So you've got a spirit within you. I don't believe that's the Holy Spirit that lusteth. And the Scripture warns us of that. Verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Thank you, Lord. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We spoke about that this morning. You taking the lower place and saying, God, what do you want? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Amen. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Let's pray for just a moment. Lord, thank you for this good service we've enjoyed tonight. And I would ask you, Lord, that you would open our eyes to the Scripture and that you would help us to draw closer to you. That you would help us when we leave here tonight to be closer than we were when we came in. That you would help us to have the desire in our heart not to be at a standstill in our relationship, but that our relationship with you might be growing and growing in strength and in vibrance. And that you would help us to let these Scriptures work in our heart. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to say a few things about there in verse number 8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. I mentioned today that you can draw nigh to God through the Scripture itself. So reading the Bible. How many of you think we ought to be reading the Bible? I know there are a lot of reasons that you don't read the Bible or people say why they haven't read the Bible today. I'm not going to ask you. Wouldn't want to embarrass you. But today is Sunday. Today's the Lord's Day. Don't you think most of us should have had time to read the Bible today? Don't you think if you come to church without having read your Bible, it's almost like showing up and kind of just hoping that God gives you the cliff notes of what you could have got at home? Because I'm telling you, God can feed your soul at home before you ever get to church. One of the best ways to come to church is with a full heart already. a soul that's already been fed. So not only in reading the Bible, but in praying. I believe that praying, it keeps us in connection with God. And I'm telling you, the prayer meetings we've been having around Tabernacle lately have been very sweet and very productive. The men meeting at 5:15, the ladies. I've had men meeting up here in the upper room Saturday night. Last night, we had a sweet, sweet time of prayer and rejoicing and talking about what God had done in the past and what we believe that God is doing right now. And it was a good thing. And you can take and draw nigh to God through praying. In fact, many of the scriptures in the Bible that would be used to teach and to preach on how do you get close to God would include prayer. And then thirdly, coming to church. And you know, you're here tonight, so we can all say amen. Don't you think you just get a little bit closer to God when you come to where His people are? This is the body of Christ. So when we come here, we're trying to draw nigh to God. And I'm going to tell you, the people that have the most joy and that seem to be full of the Spirit of God and seem to have a love for the Bible and a love for Jesus Christ are the people that come to church on a regular basis. And so you can do those things, but I think it goes a little farther than that. You know, I think sometimes that we can draw nigh to God with our mouth, but not really our heart. I'll read you a verse. It's Jesus quotes in Matthew 15. He quotes Isaiah 29. He says, "This people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me." In other words, they say something with their mouth that is really not a true reflection of their heart. You know, singing songs about, "Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I..." But really thinking about, you know, "I hope we get out in time to be able to see the rest of the ball game. Or maybe we can get out in time tonight where we can be the first in line so we don't have to wait at the restaurant." You know, sometimes we say things that our heart just doesn't mean. I think it happens all the time in the public sector. Have you ever had somebody ask you how you were doing and didn't wait to get the answer? Have you ever had that? "Good to see you today. How are you doing?" Keep walking. Not interested. It's just a cursory thing. And so what I'm saying is, I don't want to be guilty. Are you listening tonight? I do not want to be guilty as the pastor of this church, as the father of my children, the husband of my wife. I do not want to be guilty of saying something with my mouth that's not a true reflection of my heart. I don't want to act as if I'm growing in this relationship with God when really maybe I'm not in my heart, that my heart is just far from where it should be. And I know I can get it through the Bible and I know I can get it through prayer in the church, but I got to thinking about this. You know, there are people in the Bible that got close to God for different reasons. How many of you think the prodigal son made a good choice when he went back home? You think he did? Yeah, I got to thinking about that. The Bible says he was in that hog pen. He didn't have any money left. I mean, he was hungry. He's sitting there looking at the husks that the hogs were eating. I don't know if you've ever been in a hog pen, but if you've ever been in a hog pen, it is a filthy place. I mean, the hog pen is filth that has just been recirculated, and there's stuff in there that's no good. I had a man in our church that raised hogs, and I like to eat hog meat. I wish I hadn't seen what the hogs eat, but I eat the hog. I like that. I like the bacon, but to see what they ate. And listen, he would throw some of the nastiest stuff in there. And their stuff, I mean, awful stuff, filthy stuff, rancid stuff. And they would eat it like they were eating ice cream straight out of, I mean, they were just enjoying it. And here's what I'm trying to say is that boy was in that place. And a hog pen smells horrible. He's in that place and he's sitting there and he's looking and he's saying, "I'm hungry and I don't have any money. I've wasted it all on riotous living. And you know what? I'm going to go home to my father. I'm going to draw nigh to God." And you know what he didn't do? Hey, listen to me. You know what he didn't do? He didn't go get cleaned up. He didn't go and spend a couple of weeks in detox. He didn't go and say, "Let me get all these things in order." You know what he did? The Bible says he arose and went to his father. There was nothing in between. And you know what he found out? He found out that when he drew nigh to his father was moving toward him. The Bible, are you listening? I'm not just up here. The Bible says that father ran to meet him. and he fell on his neck. The same stench, the same mess that that boy was in. The father is on his neck and kisses him and puts a ring on his finger and just begins to be good to him. And I'm telling you tonight, if you're in a place of sickness with sin, you can run to the Father and he'll take you back in. He'll draw nigh to you. There's another man in the Bible by the name of Manasseh. Manasseh was wicked. He grew up in a home where daddy loved God. Hezekiah was a man of God. And Manasseh was a vile, idolatrous king. I mean, the Bible speaks of him in such terms that if you could read the description, probably, he was involved in so much wickedness and wanted to promote that wickedness. Well, boy, you know, God dealt with Manasseh. And the Bible says that they came and they took him among the thorns. Have you ever fell among thorns? There's bound to be somebody here that hunts or fishes. I have on more than one occasion been tracking a deer that I shot. And I'm trying, and by the way, I should go ahead and say that I did that legally. And I did it because we like to eat the meat. Of course, I can hear somebody say, well, you should just go to the store and buy your meat there. Well, I hate to tell you, Ingles does not make meat. God made the meat. So anyway, so I went. And I'm trying to track this thing. And as I'm going through, you know, it's getting a little bit more and it's pulling on here. And then sometimes I'm on my hands and knees with a flashlight at night trying to work my way through there. And I find myself in the middle of thorns. And you know what? It's not a fun place to be. But I didn't have anybody put me there. The Bible says that they took Manasseh among the thorns. Sound like me. They tied a rope to him. Said, tell you what we're going to do to you, big boy. We're going to pull you right through the middle. And as they're pulling him through there, he's hurting. He's hurting. The Bible says that they took, when they finished pulling him through the thorns and took him among the thorns, that then they put him in fetters. They took and they, here's a king. He lives in a palace. But boy, it's come crashing down now. And now he's in fetters and they take him into captivity. And boy, I'm telling you, there are so many people like that. Their lifestyle has led them to a place to where sin is destroying their body and destroying their mind. And sometimes they end up in cuffs and sometimes they end up behind prison bars. And I hope somebody's listening on the radio tonight. And I hope somebody's listening. And I know the devil's told you it can't get any better. You're just going to have to stay exactly where you are. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to read this to you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. The Bible says that Manasseh, in his affliction, besought the Lord. And you know what God did? God heard a man that was full of wickedness in his trouble. And God can do that tonight. Amen. 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 Preacher, you just don't know. Well, so I think sometimes people draw close to God because of their trouble. Sometimes their sickness or their sin. But then they thought about John. John is a disciple you read about in the Bible. He goes with the Lord everywhere. There's three of them, Peter, James, and John, and they always get to take that extra step. They get to go to the Mount of Transfiguration. They get to go inside of the place where the young lady's dead. They get to move where other people don't. And I really believe the reason they did is because they wanted to. Have you ever had somebody invite you on a trip and you didn't go, but somebody else did? And they came back and told you about how good it was. You ever had that happen? You ever had somebody invite you to a restaurant and you didn't go and they come back and say, not only was it a great meal, they paid the bill. I should have gone. Why didn't we go? John is always moving. He is a disciple, the Bible says, that leans on the Lord's breast. Now listen, tonight you may not be in a place where sin is just ruined and just corrupted your life. You may not be in a place where trouble has just surrounded your life. Maybe you're like John. Maybe you've been walking with the Lord. Maybe you're in great fellowship with Him. Can I ask you a question? Is it possible to get closer to God even when you're living right? Is it possible to take another step in your relationship? In fact, let me tell you how. We as a church, we can, if we're not careful, we can get so satisfied. Boy, today we had a great crowd today. There was an excitement here. I tell you, God was in this place today. Tonight, the choir, there was an excitement up there singing. I mean, it was enjoyable to be up there. And you know what we can do? We can get used to it and say, well, this is as far as we need to go. But you know what I think? I think there's a whole lot farther we can get than where we are now. And I'm going to give you the illustration. John wants to get closer to Jesus. And they're out there on the boat, the Sea of Galilee. And here's what happens. On the Sea of Galilee, John recognizes that Jesus is on the shore and he's got fish and he's got bread. And he's there and he's cooked. It's already cooked. And he calls out to them. Children, have you any meat? They don't have any. And he tells them to cast on the right side. And then John says, it's the Lord. And when they get there, they sit down and they start eating. And Jesus starts talking to Peter. Amen. And says, Peter, lovest thou me? Well, yea, Lord, thou knowest I love you. Then feed my sheep. He asks him the second time and the third time. And finally, when he finishes, here's what he does. He looks at Peter and he tells him, follow me. So here sit the disciples on the shore. Boy, that sounds really enticing. On the seashore with Jesus. And he's got fish on the coals. That must have been some really good fish. And he had that bread there. And listen, they're sitting there enjoying great. Listen, the fellowship had to be sweet. And he looks at one of them. He says, Peter, follow me. And Jesus gets up and he starts to walk off. And Peter goes with him. And the Bible says, let me read to you. In John chapter 21, verse 20, the Bible says, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved, following. So this is a private invitation to Peter. And Peter's walking with the Lord. And as he's walking, Peter hears some footsteps. He takes and he looks back. And there's John. In my heart, I want to say, Peter said, I knew it. He's going to take and he's going to have to crowd in here. You say, why did John do that? All right, now listen. Why did John do that? Because as good as the fellowship was on the shore, as good as the bread was and the fish, you know what he wanted? He wanted to get a little bit closer to Jesus Christ. He wasn't satisfied with that right there. That wasn't. Listen, sometimes God is so real in my life. Sometimes in the mornings, the fellowship is so good. Sometimes on my knees, the fellowship is so wonderful. Sometimes in a church service, it just seems like God sits down right there among us. And there is just such a warmth of the heart. And I don't want to ever be guilty then of saying, okay, that's far enough. And I don't want Tabernacle Baptist Church to ever say, well, we've gone this far and that's far enough. Oh, no. No, if the Lord's got an invitation he's given to somebody else to come and walk with him, I want to be part of that crowd. I don't want to miss out on something. That's one reason I come to church on a regular basis. I don't want to miss out on what God's doing. Somebody says, you have to come because you're the pastor. No, I don't. I could stay home like some other people do. Sure. I can say I'm sick, don't feel like going, I'm tired. I don't want to miss what's going on here because you never know what might happen. John says, no, he didn't invite me. I'm going anyway. I'm going anyway. Can you see the heart that John had then? That's my question then to us tonight. Do you see that heart? John's not in sin. John's not trying to get close to God because he's far from God. John's not trying to get close to Jesus because he's had a season where he has been distant. He has been walking with the Lord, and he's been part of that inner circle, but that's not enough. Listen, some of you young men that are Bible college students, God put a fire in your heart, and you said, I'm called to preach, and now I need to do something about it. And you come to college, and you hear some good preaching and teaching, and that fire begins to burn, and it begins to build, and that desire to get close to God builds. All I would tell you is this. There's always another step you can take. There's always another place you can move to with the Lord. I'm telling you, we sing songs like, God, plant my feet on higher ground. I don't think we've ever got to the top yet. Mom, Dad, maybe things are going well at the house, but maybe you can increase your step toward the Lord. Listen, you may in your personal life be walking with God in such a way that it's sweet, but I'm going to tell you, I think it can get, you listen, I think it can get sweeter. Amen. I remember Rosie Price, 93 years of age, sat on this side, Sweet Springs Baptist Church. She told me, preacher, all I've ever done is work and go to church. That's all I've ever done. And every now and then we'd have testimonies, and she stood up one night and I said, Miss Rose, you got something you'd like to say? She said, I do. She said, I've been saved. And she talked about how long. And then she said, and I just want to say that Jesus just gets sweeter and sweeter every day. Now, you know, you have to, either you have to say, that's just an old lady that's blinded and brainwashed, or that's somebody's got something they're finding even at the end of life that some people hadn't found at the beginning yet. Do you understand? John has a desire to get close to the Lord, and I think we can do that. Now, the phrase that I want to focus in on behind that is in verse number 8. These go together. Look what he says. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Same verse is draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now, if you listen to some modern preachers, what they'll tell you is, it doesn't matter what's in your hand, and the only thing that's important in your heart is if you love Jesus. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says to cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify ye hearts, ye double-minded. So my hands and my heart. Now watch me. My hands. That's something visible. That's something outward. That's something you can see. But my heart is something that is inward. It's something that's hidden. And what he's saying is, ye double-minded, if you have a heart that's double-minded, that hidden from the view of others, it's kind of halt between two opinions, as the way 1 Kings puts it. You know, we're not going to choose Baal and we're not going to choose God. We're just kind of in between. I'm not going to follow the world and I'm not going to follow God. I've got enough impurity in my heart. I'm just kind of stuck right in the middle. Or my hands. The Bible says, purify your hands. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. I don't think he's talking about washing your hands. It's what your hands hold. It's what you visibly are to other people. But can I say tonight, there should never be a man at Tabernacle Baptist Church that holds a beer can in your hand, because somebody else is going to be seeing that. You can say, well, I'm just as saved as anybody else. You may be saved as anybody else, but you may just take and point a young person the wrong direction. That's right. Your hands don't need to be on anybody that's not your wife or your husband. You say, why? Because it's an example of other people that haven't reached that level yet. There's all kind of things that my hands, and outwardly, I should never be engaged with, because I'm a reflection of Jesus Christ and I'm pointing somebody else the wrong direction. And what I'm saying is, my hands need to be clean, not so I can say, look how clean I am, but so other people get a good example, and it helps me get closer to God. How many of you think getting close to God with dirty hands is a hard thing? Do you think that? I'm going to tell you it's true. Go, if you would, with me to Psalm 24. This is such a true statement. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What did it say right before that? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. How close do you want to be? That prodigal son had to leave his sin behind. Manasseh had to leave his rebellion behind. John didn't have any sin to cleanse, or didn't have an impure heart. He just wanted to get closer. Look at Psalm 24. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 24. Verse number 3, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. In other words, those clean hands, that pure heart. Now listen, you young people, again tonight, if you're listening, if you want to get close to God, there's some things you're going to have to leave behind, and one of those is filthy music. You're going to have to leave behind filthy language. Come on now. No, I'm just going to come to God the way I am, dirty the way. As long as I love him, it's okay. That's not what Psalm 24 says. Psalm 24 says you've got to cleanse your hands, and you've got to purify your heart, because that's who gets to approach to God. Have you ever looked in your heart? I remember I did this when I told you this morning a little bit. I talked to God. God, would you show me what's wrong with me? Have you ever done that with the Lord? Have you ever asked God just to show you, reveal to you what's in your heart? God, if I've got something wrong in my heart, would you show me? How many of you think God knows how to show you? How many of you think when God shows you, he's right? Boy, I did that with the Lord one. I did that. When I got right with God at 23, I remember laying across my bed in my room and I said, God, please show me. Show me what I'm doing wrong. Show me all the filth in my life. Because I thought, you know, take out some of your music, put in good music, get rid of some of the old clothes, get some new clothes. We're doing good. Well, I found out I wasn't doing nearly as good as I thought I was doing, that there was a whole lot of filth down in here. There was still a whole lot of filth that was attached outside. And I don't know how long it was. It felt like 2 or 3 hours. God saying, well, they got that right there, a little bit of pride there, a little envy there, a little jealousy there. Got a little bit of this filthy thoughts right here. You got this right over here, and just kept pointing things out. And I'm telling you, whether you've never done it, you ought to put yourself in front of God and say, God, anything in here you see it's impure, you know what He'll do? He'll tell you. Amen. To the point you'll say, okay, that's enough. Can we pick this up tomorrow? How about the weekend? Can we wait till the weekend? I'm talking about feeling dirty. You know, here's what we want to do. Here's what we want to do. Come here, Brother Mark looks sharp tonight. Here's what we want to do. We want to take, come on, Brother Mark. We want to take, and what we want to do is, when we say, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, we want to look at somebody else, and we will say, you know what? That guy right there, his tie, it's crooked, Lord. Go turn around there. It's crooked. It's crooked. He got sleeves rolled up, and his pant legs ain't right. His shoes are untied, Lord. Look at that. I'm not like that. My hands are a whole lot cleaner than his. He's got a rubber band around his. I got a watch on mine. Look, Lord, I'm doing well. That's the wrong way to get clean before God. That's not it at all. I'm so sorry that I did all that. This is how you get clean before God. All right, God, show me what's in my heart. And then I've got to get that out. Come on, can I ask you a question? This crowd doesn't drink. There we go. That's helped me a little bit. We don't drink. We don't use recreational drugs. We don't do that. All right. We believe that men ought to marry women and women ought to marry men. So we don't. There's a lot of things that you could say, boy, preacher. But can I ask you a question? Do you think any of us have envy in our heart ever? Do you think we ever have bitterness in our heart? Do you think any of us ever have a little pride in our heart? You know, somebody should have asked me. Nobody asked my opinion. There might be a reason for that. I wasn't included. A little bit of pride, a little bit of bitterness, a little jealousy. And all I'm just saying is there are things that get in our hearts and sometimes with our hands, things that we don't need to be doing, things that we pick up with our, things that are part of our outward life. And I'm telling you, we don't need to compare to one another. We just need to say, God, if you'll show it to me, I'll get it out so I can get closer to you.
Amen.
Question is, do you love what's in your life more than the blessing of being closer to the Lord? Now, we're doing really good on time. Can we do just a quick little Bible study? How many of you like to do a little quick Bible study to get you closer to the Lord? I appreciate that vote of confidence. Take your Bible, if you would, now. I want you to go to Psalm 34. If you're in Psalm 20, go to Psalm 34. I'm preaching on how do I get closer to God. Well, you got to purify your heart. You got to get your hands clean. There's got to be something done outwardly. So it does matter how you dress, how you appear, what you do out in the world in public. You got to take care of what's on the inside, what's hidden. You can't just take care of the outside and not the inside. You have to do both. Draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you. I got to take care of those things. But there's a word in your Bible that only occurs 5 times. 5, I was taught here in Bible college, is the number of grace. Now, that word is contrite or contrition. God says that if you really want to get close to me, contrition is something that I'm looking for. It's almost like the invitation that gets you past the security and the screening, and allows you to get up very close. If you look with me, Psalm 34, and just a really quick Bible study, five verses. Look what it says. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Now, contrite means to be broken. It means to be worn. It means to be bruised. So the Bible says that if you want God to be close to you, then you have got to be of a contrite spirit. And he says, he saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. In our passage, it speaks about humility and pride. You have to put pride away from you. If you're going to, listen, church, if we're going to get close to God, then we've got to be honest with ourselves and honest with God. We can't have an imagined status in our own eyes. And God says, I want to save that person that is of a contrite heart. Now look, if you would, with me. This is about being delivered from sin. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. Look at verse number 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Look at it down there again in verse number 15. The Bible says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. Verse 17, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. I'm telling you, whoever is crying out in Psalm 34 recognizes they're in trouble. And they cry out, they're saying, Lord, help. God, I'm a mess. I've got problems in my life. Would you help? Hey, and God says, that's exactly the kind of person I'm going to get close to.
Hallelujah.
Not the one that says, I'm good.
Amen.
You ever have people tell you that? Hey, how you? I'm good. I'm good. I don't need anything. I'm good. Well, I tell you right now, I need God to deliver me out of trouble on a regular basis.
Amen.
And that comes from crying out. And listen, that's why people don't get saved. People don't get saved because they don't think they need to be saved. Aren't you glad you found out that hell was real and so was the salvation Jesus offered at Calvary? I don't have to fear that anymore. Why? Because I cried out. Boy, and you know what? God heard that. He heard that prayer. So somebody crying out to God. Then look, if you would, Psalm 51. You're in Psalm 34 there. Go to Psalm 51. The word contrite. Now, if you want to get close to God, contrition. A brokenness, a bruised heart. Not someone that's proud. We don't need revival. I'm good. No, Psalm 51. Look what the Bible says. Psalm 51. The Bible says, verse number 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise.
Amen.
Now, if you know where you are in your Bible, you understand Psalm 51 was written after one of the most spiritual men in the Bible fell into adulterous sin with a woman who was beautiful but was another man's wife. And he had that man killed so he could take her as his wife.
Amen.
And that sin is bothering him. And the Bible says, verse 17, a broken and contrite heart. I believe David had a broken heart. Nathan said, thou art the man, and he didn't offer any excuses. Instead, what he said was he was wanting help from God. Look there in verse number 9. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities.
Amen.
I don't know if you've ever been there. God, would you just take and blot out all those iniquities, Lord? Don't look on that anymore. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God. I tell you, you can't create a clean heart in yourself, and the church can't create a clean heart in you, but God knows how to do that.
Amen.
And then he goes on to say, renew a right spirit within me. A renewed spirit, a joyful spirit. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thine Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. He's saying, God, restore me. Clean me up. Help me, God. And listen, he's got a broken heart when he's doing that.
Amen.
Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you ever wept over your own sin? When's the last time your own sin made you sick to your stomach? That made your heart turn in knots and say, oh God, oh God. I get there often, too often. Oh God, I'm so sorry. Oh God, forgive me. Sometimes it's not about what I'm doing. It's something I didn't do. Something I should have stepped forward and done. Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Amen.
God, please forgive me. We had one of our dear ladies at our, you know why our prayer meeting was sweet? Contrition. One of our ladies stood to their, or didn't stand at their feet. They just said, I've just got to say something. I think we're getting ready to pray. And they just said, you know, last week I didn't stand up and just talk about how God was good to me. And I grieved the Spirit of God. Well, she started tears flowing, and she was just saying, but tonight I just want to talk about how good God has been to me and what a blessing He's been to me. And the more she talked about that, you know what happened in that room? God said, I think I'm going to sit down right here. This is a good place. I'm good. The Bible's clear. David is saying, God, please deliver me out of this trouble I'm in, this sin. Lord, please take and get rid of it for me. And God, listen, look at it again there in Isaiah 57. You're doing great tonight. You still with me? A little bit. Isaiah 57. I'm going to tell you, I don't think that there's a possibility of really getting close to God without a contrite heart. Soft, broken, tender. I think he looks for that. Isaiah 57. Look what the Bible says there in verse number 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Do you see what he says? Look at that again. Look how God describes his position. His position is he's the high and lofty one. Boy, can I get an amen on that tonight? God is high and lofty. He goes on to say, look what he says, that inhabiteth eternity whose name is holy. Listen, we have a holy Bible that was written by holy men, and I'm telling you, we have a holy God as well. He's holy. He's pure from corruption. He's pure from sin and filth. The Bible says that his name is holy. Look, I dwell in the high and holy place. Boy, you get to reading that and you say, well, I couldn't get there. He's in a high, holy place. He's the high and lofty one. He's the holy one. He's so far up there, so far above me. And I'm telling you, you know what? You're exactly right. The God of the Bible is way above mankind. He's way above us when it comes to, he's way above our righteousness. But God says, I'll tell you what I'll do though. Because I'm way up here and you're way down there, the person that's got the contrite and humble spirit, I think I'm just going to dwell with him for a while. So watch, now watch. Somebody that I can't reach up to, he comes down to where I am. Broken and bruised and worn, my heart. I feel wretched. I feel awful. I feel so vile and vain. And God, and I'm a mess. And he says, that's exactly the person I've been hoping to pull up a chair and sit down to today. I think I'll come down from my high and holy place to somebody that's down there lowly. And I'm glad Jesus was a friend of sinners. They accuse him of eating with sinners. Way at the bottom. You know what? When you get the right view of God, he's way up there. And you get the right view of you, you're way down here. Business is about to pick up in meeting and having a relationship with God. Boy, but it's those people that say, I'm good. Oh, I'm good. Maybe I'll do God a favor and I'll step his way. Oh, no, 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 no. God, John the Baptist says, I'm not, are you listening to me? The greatest prophet ever to live said, I'm not worthy to reach down and just unlatch his buckle.
Amen.
I'm not worthy to get down here and to do that. You get the right view of God and being high and the right view of yourself and being low.
Amen.
And God says, I'll dwell with that one right there. And look now, we're talking about revival. Getting close to God. He says there in verse number 15, look at it again. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. A preacher can't revive your heart. A church can't revive your heart. A lifestyle can't revive your heart. But God can revive your heart.
Amen.
God can do something in here that everything out here can't do. And come on, there's bound to be somebody here that one day when you found yourself way down here, you saw him way up there, and you cried out and said, would you deliver me and help me out of all this trouble and the mess that I'm in, that he reached down to where you were, and there was something that took place on the inside that nothing else had ever done for you. There was a change in here that didn't come from sitting inside of a church building. It came from a work that God did on the inside. I don't understand why I'm so happy. I don't understand why I'm crying. I don't understand why I'm joyful. I don't understand why I want to be at church and it's on Monday. I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand why the burden's been lifted. I don't understand why I think. Look, I'm going to tell you, you know what happened? The God in heaven said, I tell you what, if you've got that attitude, I'm going to reach down and I'm just going to take and get close to you. And I'm going to change your heart. Oh. People pay millions of dollars to go down to the finest hospitals in the world and have people work on their heart. There's a God in heaven that'll do it for free if you'll just take and just bow yourself down where he is. Last verse and we're finished tonight. Isaiah 66. And we're just talking about getting close to God. How do you get close to God? You got to get rid of your pride. You got to see God high and lifted up. See yourself as lowly. You got to take and you got to say, okay, God, I'm in a mess and I'm going to cry out to you. In just a minute, I'm going to offer you an opportunity to come to an altar. And some people are going to say, I don't need it. I don't need to talk to him. I'm good. Well, that person doesn't have God then to sit with them. Last one, Isaiah 66, verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. How many of you think that sounds way up there as well? The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth in my word. I'm going to look to that man that is of a broken spirit that trembleth in my word. Now, I'm not going to re-preach that either. But I'm telling you, this book ought to move my heart. And if God condemns something, I should run from it. And if God commends something, I should run to it. It should affect the way that I live. Listen, a Bible is not a good luck charm. Come on now. A Bible is not a good luck charm. It's not a decorative piece on the family table. Oh no, the Bible is written by God and it should be something that affects my heart. Now listen. God says, a man that trembles at my word and that's poor and contrite, I'm going to look his way. I'm going to look his way. I know you've seen it. You've probably done it. They're asking for volunteers or they're asking for somebody, and somebody's in the back saying, oh, hey, pick me. Pick me. Look. Pick me. Me. You know, sooner or later, that person's going to get some attention. Because they want somebody's attention. Listen to me. I want to get close to God. I want to step that direction so he can step my direction. And I'm willing to leave some things out of my hands. And I'm willing to look in my heart and get some things out of my heart. And I'm ready to take a lower position and him take a higher position. And I believe if we do that, we could see some real revival at Tabernacle. Who knows what might happen? So if you stand to your feet, that's the message tonight. All I'm doing is just preaching about getting closer to God. I'm not preaching about being a spiritual Christian. I'm not preaching about being a super Christian. I'm not trying to renovate somebody's life. I'm just saying, if you want to get close to God, you can. He said, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. But you're going to have to quit that double-mindedness with your heart. You're going to have to get that filth out of your hand. And if you'll take a lowly place and if you'll call out to me, get rid of that pride. If you'll take and you'll just step toward me and get rid of that pride, get rid of that filth out of your hand, in your heart. Just move that aside. I'll step toward you. Or maybe you're like John. And, oh, I hope that I didn't overshadow it. If you're living right tonight, don't you want to get a little closer? Don't you think that there's more of Jesus to know? That there's more glory? more goodness, more blessing, more direction. If I could just get a little closer. John said, I'm going to lay right on his breast. I'm going to get as close as I can. How about it tonight? Would you